First, maybe you felt the thrill of a runner's high, felt a little better about yourself after going to a group exercise class, or maybe just overheard a coworker talk about their tough mudder race. A lot of people find happiness in exercise, and the author of a new book says that people who are physically active are happier and tend to be more satisfied with their lives and are likely to be more connected and less likely to be lonely. Kelly McGonigal is a research psychologist, a lecturer at Stanford University, and a science writer. Her new book is called The Joy of Movement, How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. Kelly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, a lot of your book is devoted to the concept that our bodies are designed to move and our brains reward us for being active. How do we know this is something we're kind of meant to be doing?
Yes, well, you can see it in everything from how your brain chemistry changes when you get your heart rate up in any form of movement. Your brain releases chemicals that make you feel better, less stressed, and even help you bond with others. But we can even see how the brain changes in terms of its structure, its physical structure, when people are active in a way that makes you more resilient to stress, that makes you better able to recover from even things like trauma and depression, and that make you more sensitive to pleasure and joy. So whether we're talking about that short-term boost that you can get or whether we're talking about having a different brain when you use your body in ways that get your heart rate up. And the great news is it really doesn't matter what kind of movement you do as long as you are active.
And this all comes, you write, from evolution. Our brains were wired by the way our ancestors a couple hundred thousand years ago had to live their lives.
Yeah, so, you know, when we became modern humans, living in societies, cooperating, we also had to hunt and gather and work pretty hard in order to feed ourselves and our family and our friends. And in order to survive, the brain figured out how to basically create a hack so that when you are physically active, your brain rewards you. It makes you feel good. It reduces pain. It even increases hope so that you'll be willing to continue to put in the effort. And it also makes you better able to bond with others so that when you find that food, you're willing to share it with your neighbors rather than hoard it to yourself. And so, you know, even though originally this kind of brain hack helped early humans survive, we still get that same boost when we're active. And we are still meant to move because we have the same brains, we have the same bodies, only now, instead of going hunting and gathering, we can go to an exercise class or go for a walk with a friend or have a dance party with your kid in the living room and get that same benefit of feeling more hope, feeling less stressed, and forming stronger relationships.
On the flip side, a lot of people now have sedentary jobs like, I don't know, radio talk show host, where movement is not built into our daily lives. And it sounds like that may be making us not just less physically healthy, it may be contributing to a rise in anxiety.
I think that that's right. One of the most shocking studies I came across was they took people who were moderately active and asked them to become more sedentary for a couple of weeks. And what they found is that actually increased their depression and their anxiety and even decreased their sense of purpose and meaning in life. And so it is possible that the structure of our lives right now are increasing our incidence of things like depression and loneliness. But the good news is it doesn't take a lot of activity to cross that threshold and experience benefits. So even if you do have a job where you aren't active, if you're able to make time every day, a few minutes a day, maybe, you know, one activity on the weekend where you spend an hour doing it, these are things that can make a huge difference in your mental health and happiness.
We're talking to Kelly McGonigal about her new book. It's called The Joy of Movement, How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. Kelly, I think when a lot of people think about exercise, they might think about weight loss, maybe about heart health, maybe about looking better physically. You say we should maybe be focusing on this other stuff, maybe more than those benefits.
Yeah, I mean, so it is true. If you exercise, it's so good for your health and it will reduce your risk of all sorts of, you know, health problems. But that isn't always the most motivating thing, and it doesn't always lead people in the direction of finding the form of movement that they'll actually fall in love with, that will make them feel like they can take on the world. So I really encourage people to pay attention to their direct experience and to think about a form of movement that would feel good to their body while they're doing it, or that would make them feel amazing about themselves for having accomplished it, or that puts them in a place that's inspiring, like outdoors in nature, or spending time with friends or a community that you care about. And when people do that, not only do they experience more joy in the actual activity, they're more likely to stick with it and develop a relationship to movement that gets them all those physical health benefits down the line.
Yeah, that's a good thought. A lot of the people you profile in your book are people who have discovered what you have already, the joy of movement. There's a lot of, I'll say us, who think of exercise as a chore, something that we know is probably good for us, but we really got to get motivated to do it. You've worked with and talked to a lot of people. How do we move from that category to the happy exercise category?
Yeah. Well, so one thing you should know, the brain research shows that it takes about 6 weeks of being regularly active for the brain to change in ways that make people almost get hooked on exercise so that you actually like it and you want to do it. And so one thing I'm always telling people is if you can commit to something for 6 weeks, it's not just your body that's going to get more fit and find the activity easier. You will literally have a brain that enjoys movement more. So part of it is sometimes getting through that initial process. Another thing I encourage people to do is to think about movement that inspires them rather than thinking like what's going to be most convenient or what's going to burn the most calories. You know, if somebody sent you a YouTube video, what's the video you'd watch? Do you love watching people cross a finish line? And maybe you should think about training for a 5K. Or do you love watching, you know, dance videos? Maybe you can find a community dance class. Do you like to see people do amazing things? Maybe you should go to a strength training gym and where they're doing, you know, flipping tires and lifting heavy weights. Often there's a sort of a part of yourself that movement could bring out in you that would be really interesting or exciting. And these are all ways to kind of find your way into movement. And the other thing, of course, is to do it with other people if that motivates you, because exercise actually makes it easier to bond with people. So if there's someone you want to strengthen a relationship with, moving is a great way to do it. And then the pleasure people get from that often allows them to stay with movement long enough for their body and their brains to get hooked on it.
One community you focus on that I thought was really interesting was a group, a gym that focused on adaptive fitness and exercise for people with physical disabilities and in some cases, people with depression. Can you talk about that? Because there's some great stories there.
Yeah, so DPI Adaptive Fitness in Fairfax, Virginia was one of my favorite gyms that I visited. Everyone who trains there is a serious athlete in the sense that they are doing amazing things. They are boxing. They are, you know, dragging heavy weights across the floor. They are weightlifting. And they also, you know, have traumatic brain injuries or are in wheelchairs or have cerebral palsy. And what I loved about this gym is that people often set in this gym movement goals, like to be able to punch 100 times in 60 seconds or to lift a certain amount of weight. Or one woman who is a stroke survivor is able to do 1,000 squats in a row on a weighted machine. And in the process of achieving that goal, they're actually developing physical capabilities that allow them to reach meaningful goals in their life, like be able to drive a car or to walk. But at the same time, on that journey, they get to sense their own strength. They get to sense their own resilience. And that tends to create a lot of hope about every aspect of their lives. And the other thing I loved about this community is they bring in friends and family. So, you know, by the time you're ready to do those 1,000 squats in a row, you've often got your spouse with you or your friend with you who's cheering you on and taking a video. And it's just such a great model of a lot of the ways that great communities of movement support one another.
We're talking to Kelly McGonigal, research psychologist and lecturer at Stanford University. Her new book is called The Joy of Movement: How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Has exercise changed the way you see yourself over the years? Do you feel happier when you're active? Have you taken a group fitness class? How does that make you feel? Do you feel connected to the people around you? Or do you think of exercise as a chore, something you have a hard time getting motivated for? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up a conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Kelly McGonigal, a research psychologist and lecturer at Stanford University. We're talking about exercise and her new book. It's called The Joy of Movement: How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made exercise a regular part of your life? If so, What got you into that? Do you feel better when you're active, or flip it around? Do you feel worse when you're not able to be active for one reason or another? Have you ever had that runner's high? And do you feel like part of a community with people you work out with, you're on a team with, whatever your form of exercise might be? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kelly, I love another community you talk about in your book. I think this one was in London, where people run around, but then they, along the way, they meet a special group of coaches that their gym sets them up with.
Yes, this is Good Gym. I love them too. Good Gym has two programs. So the first program is runners get assigned a coach who's actually an older adult in their neighborhood who's really isolated, maybe doesn't leave their home very often, and has asked for a companion that they can coach in their running journey. And so they run to the coach's home, spend time there, have tea, maybe help them out with some household tasks, and then they run back home. And people form real friendships and begin to feel quite integrated in those relationships. The other aspect of Good Gym is that runners also form running groups where they meet up in their own neighborhood, run a mile or two, and then do a community service project. So they might make a meal for people who are currently homeless, or they might plant flowers in a local garden, and then they run back to where they started and have drinks or dinner. And again, they're integrating their activity while they're with their own community. They're building relationships, and they're feeling like they're able to contribute to their community. And this just reminded me so much of, you know, as we were talking earlier about how humans initially got a runner's high because we had to go out into the world and find food and support one another and cooperate in tribes. And this is basically what Good Gym is doing. It's harnessing both the runner's high and the satisfaction that we get when we feel like we're a part of our community and we're able to contribute.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tom joins us in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Tom?
I want to recommend to people that they adopt the Berkey lifestyle, that they choose to ski one of the Berkey races, and there's a race for everybody. That's cross-country ski race, Hayward and Cable area of Wisconsin. It is the most magical rush of a race that you can be involved in. It's changed my life. It's changed my complete orientation to winter. No longer do you dread the winter and the cold. You look forward to it. You embrace it. You lean into it. You long for a good, strong winter and lots of snow. It's a year-round lifestyle because you can never be too prepared for whichever race you're skiing up there.
And Tom, I want to ask, you sound like a convert. What got you out there the first time you did a Berkey race?
All right, so the first time I did the race was in 1984. I was an idiot. I had no idea. I got up there and got up that morning. They told me it's 15 below, and I said, no, I can't be 15 above. It can't be 15 below. Completely unprepared for it, and had a great time despite breaking a bone during the race. That's the thing. All these people, their first time experience is a disaster, yet they're completely hooked by the race, and they come back year after year after year. Ben Pop, director up there, does an absolutely fabulous job. It really is a great Wisconsin institution.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. Thank you so much for sharing your story at 800-642-1234. That's the thing there, Kelly, that kind of exercise. And there's a lot of things to people who haven't done them, people like me. They sound a little masochistic, but as we heard from Tom, there's a lot of joy there.
Yes, I mean, I love, he said it was a magical rush. And I heard language like that from so many people who do activities that to me seem crazy or scary. You know, people who are running ultra marathons or doing these adventure races or doing a Tough Mudder obstacle course. And what I found is that often when there's an edge in activities like that, that really put you out there in the environment, that challenge you, and especially when you're doing it with other people, it has a profound psychological impact that can be like a magical rush, even when, you know, on the outside it looks crazy. I feel like the same thing is true with a lot of exercise experiences. I mean, I teach group fitness, mm-hmm. and I feel like if you were looking, you know, in through a window at a bunch of people doing jumping jacks and lip syncing, it looks kind of ridiculous. But when you're in the middle of it and getting that endorphin rush, it feels like the most natural thing in the world. Sometimes you have to actually experience it to get it.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. We're talking to Kelly McGonigal about her new book, The Joy of Movement, How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. Still a line open for you if you want to share your story, the exercise that gives you joy. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Part of what I loved about Tom's story there too, Kelly, is that first race, he was probably looking at people zooming along while he's there freezing and breaking his bones. And it sounds like he wasn't swayed by that. He didn't worry about comparing himself. You might see people in your classes saying, hey, these people know everything they're doing. Or you go to a gym and see people lifting trucks, resisting that urge to compare yourself with other people who are better at it than you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's so important. Mindset can make a really big difference. And so if you can go in and look for the spark that you enjoyed some aspect of it, or you surprised yourself in some way, or you're intrigued, like you couldn't do something and you had a failure experience, but you're really intrigued, like maybe I could do that at some point, to really follow that. And I also encourage people to practice what sometimes psychologists call sympathetic joy. It can be really exciting to watch other people succeed. You know, you can experience that at a race or at a gym, to cheer other people on. And that can be part of the joy of movement, is when you celebrate others. And we often get a big payoff for that too. So you show up, you're a beginner, you celebrate everyone else. And often what you'll experience is that people love beginners too and will cheer you right back.
Now, we've talked a little bit about people getting hooked, as our first caller was there, on a particular kind of exercise. But on a serious level, you found, Kelly, a lot of people who do, especially ultra-marathon things, they see it as part of, in some cases, a recovery from an actual addiction.
Yes. So what's fascinating is that exercise changes the brain in exactly the opposite way that that substance abuse can change the brain. So people who've struggled with addiction as well as depression, their brains are often less responsive to everyday joys and pleasures. You know, drugs can totally wreak havoc on your brain's reward system. And exercise actually enhances the function of the reward system. It can even literally repair the havoc that has been caused by substance abuse. And so I did meet so many people who are in recovery, who didn't, it's not just that exercise is like a substitute addiction, it's that being active helped their brains recover from some of the most insidious side effects of experiencing addiction. And you can get hooked on exercise in a really healthy way.
Let's bring on another caller now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. Well, you've mentioned something, or your guest has, sort of implicitly, but I still wanted to say it explicitly, that the half hour, the hour a day of exercise, I consider that an important investment for the other 23 hours of the day. You sleep better. You move more effortlessly through your life. You can be more agile, less aches. It just makes life overall a higher quality.
Tom, thanks for the call. Kelly, no argument there?
No, that's absolutely right, and the research backs it up. Two of my favorite findings: on days when people exercise, they actually are less affected by stressful things that happen later in the day. So if something goes wrong at work or your kid gets sick, and you're just less negatively impacted by that, you're able to handle it better. Also, people have better social interactions on a day when they exercise. That they report more closeness, feeling more supported by other people, enjoying other people more. And it's exactly right that exercise is often an investment. It's not just an investment in your health, but you will literally experience life differently because exercise changes your brain chemistry and changes your mindset.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We'll go now to James with us in Fountain City. James, hello.
Hi. Say, to make it quick, I'll be turning 72 here in a couple of weeks. I started doing endurance sports. Actually started with a Birkebeiner, like one of the previous callers did. Back in 79, and I did 27 of them. I decided to quit probably about 10 years ago, but I do other things too. And how a person gets involved in these type of challenges, I'm not really sure what triggers it. I think there's kind of an intellectual driving force that you instinctually realize that doing these type of things is good for you. And even though they can be phenomenally uncomfortable, to say the least, it just bodes well for my overall well-being. And so besides skiing, I've mountain bike raced, I've mastered swim races, canoe marathon racing. I just enjoy the challenge and enjoy the feeling and the friendship, too, with other people that do the same things.
James, thanks for the call. Kelly, you heard a lot of stories like James's, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true for things like endurance events. People often have a curiosity, like, is this possible? What would it be like to try? And that's often something that drives people. And you don't have to be attracted to endurance events to sort of follow that kind of curiosity. Like, what might it be like to learn how to tango? What might it be like to, you know, to lift something heavy? I encourage people to follow that curiosity when like, you see something that looks interesting and you think, oh, I don't know, but maybe, and what if?
In our last minute or so, Kelly, you write in your book that you started off thinking you were writing a self-help book, and it turned into almost a celebration of the many different ways that people get joy from movement. Can you celebrate that for our last minute?
Yeah, so what I discovered in talking to people about movement is they often were their best selves when they talked about it. I got to hear about human strengths, like the ability to cooperate or to experience self-transcendence or to be resilient. And to take joy. And what I realized is I basically wrote a love letter to human nature as well as exercise, because when people talk about what they love about movement, they often are talking about what they love about themselves and what they love about the people in their lives. And so this book is as much a love letter to the good that is in us as well as why exercise is good for us.
Kelly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Kelly McGonigal is a research psychologist, a lecturer at Stanford University, and a science writer. She joins us to talk about her new book. It's called The Joy of Movement, How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. Still time for you to share your story, what exercise, what movement gives you joy. Tell us about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.